This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إلى في الكتاب لا تفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولا تعلن علوا كبيرا فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا إن أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوء وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تتبيرا صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله كل خير. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in one and all the true muhabba and the love for not just the Quran Kareem, but the true muhabba and the love for practicing on the ayat and the verses of the Quran Kareem, inshallah. One is to say that we love the Quran and the kalam of Allah. وَخَيْرُ جَلِيسٍ لَا يُمَلُّ حَدِيثُهُ وَتَرْدَادُهُ يَزْدَادُ فِيهِ تَجَمُّلًا. It is the best companion indeed, but it becomes an even more enjoyable companion if we, inshallah, try to adopt and inculcate in our lives the beautiful teachings that are taught to us in the Quran Kareem, the Kalamullah. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala continue to bless Madrasa Tartirul Quran under the able and capable leadership of Qari Imran Tadia. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bless the institute and the students as well. Alhamdulillah, we would like to take this opportunity on behalf of the Deen team, Qurtuba and a thousand good deeds, and a special Jazakumullah Kulla Khair in advance to the beautiful community, the Imam of Masjid Bilal, and in this part of town. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your presence and for being part of this beautiful gathering. Inshallah, we'll request our guest, Brother Muhammad Hublus, who is born and raised in Sydney, Australia, to kindly address us, inshallah al-Aziz. The program is being live broadcasted on a link they're telling me it's serious. I don't know if it's serious or you must... Okay, seriously, it's serious, right? It's S-I-R-I-U-S. Cyrus, Sirius FM. So if you want to send that link out to your family, inshallah, and to others who are perhaps unable to make it this evening, it is live broadcast on that platform, Sirius FM, inshallah. Jazakallah kulla khair.
A lot of microphones, man. Both of these.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. This one's.
This is. Welcome to Champagne Dawah, man. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, before we officially start, I would like to maybe. Start with a beautiful hadith that I always like to start my talks with. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the Sahih hadith, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, none of you will enter Jannah until you believe. And none of you will truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Sahaba, he says, shall I tell you something that if you do it, it will spread the love amongst one another and you will learn to love each other. So the Sahaba said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, tell us. So he says, give salams to one another. So mashallah, such a big, beautiful gathering. Maybe we should fulfill the sunnah first, and if I can kindly ask all the brothers to stand up, inshallah, all the brothers, if we all stand up together, inshallah, and give salam to one another. Give salam to the brother that's standing next to you. Turn around, give him a big smile. Put your hand in his pocket and take his money, maybe, I don't know, just...
Nobody make it
salamu. Shaykh Sahib, how are you doing, my brother?
I listen to you every day.
Wallah, Jazakallah khair.
Bless you and keep doing the good
work. Allah Ta'ala bless you and keep you strong. Sahib, Shaykh, how are you doing? You're doing good. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King, the Master, the Sustainer, the Creator of the seven heavens and the earth. And we send peace and blessings upon His beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, wherever I go, I always get asked to speak about the youth. And in most cases, it will either be the Imam of the Masjid or maybe the leader of some youth community group, or it will be a father or a mother. Always usually that come up to me and they usually complain, that my brother, please, you need to speak about the youth, you need to speak about the youth. That the youth have lost their way, the youth have lost control, the youth no longer have any more respect. The youth, the youth, the youth, the youth, the youth, the youth, and the list goes on and on and on. But wallahi, my brothers and sisters, if I was to be completely and truly honest with you now, I really have to admit and confess that with all of my years in experience with the youth, I can honestly tell you that to some degree, there is absolutely nothing wrong with the youth. Nothing. And the truth is that the youth is a reflection of what's happening at home. Our youth are lost because we are lost. Our youth don't have direction because the truth is deep down, you and I don't have direction. You see, it's very easy to stand here and point the finger at the youth and say, look at this and look at that and look at this shortcoming. Habibi, where did these youth come from? Did they just fall from the sky, Yani? I love how now all of a sudden nobody has any more responsibility. Now it's the sheikh's problem. Now it's the imam's problem. Now it's this person and that person. Now it's their problem as to look at our youth and look at the direction of the youth. The youth are an exact image. They are an exact copy. They are a mirror reflection of what's happening at home. So forgive me, you know, if this doesn't sit right with certain people. But that's the reality. Your son grew up admiring you. Your son grew up watching your every single move. So if your son is lost, you've got to ask yourself why he's lost. Don't come ask me. Our youth are confused because we are confused. They're lost because deep down we're lost. They don't have an inclination towards dealing. Is this really necessary? They don't have an inclination towards deen because deep down, if we are truly honest, we are no longer impressed with deen. Deen has simply become custom, culture. It's a way of life for us, you know. It's what we do. But that burning sensation in the heart, it's not there anymore. So don't ask me why are the youth lost. They're lost because we're lost. Because my job and your job was to guide them, was to show them the way. What did we show them other than the love of this dunya? You tell me. In most cases, so that not everyone gets upset, in most cases, you go to most of our hafidh schools, our kids are thrown into these schools. We dump them into these schools to make myself feel better when I go out to my social gatherings. It's like a badge. My son's a hafid. Well, big whoop to you, my brother. Congratulations. You and I really deep down, we don't care about the Quran. The Quran is not there in my life. I don't spend hours of the night crying in tahajjud and reading the Quran and pondering upon the Quran. You really deep down, we don't care. But we throw our children in these schools so we can earn badges. MashaAllah, my son's a hafid. And then you wonder why your kid doesn't care for the Quran. Look, forgive me, you can obviously see frustration, you know. Because I feel like we love pointing fingers. We love playing the blame game. But never, and I honestly mean never, have I ever seen a people that say, listen, the problem with the ummah, the problem with the society, the problem with our women, the problem with our children, is me! Not someone else's problem. Someone else's problem. But what do you want me to do, man? I'm working 9 to 5, you know, I'm trying to put food on the table. Brother, what do you want me to do, man? You know, I got a business to run, bro. Habibi, you're busy, and I'm busy, and he's busy. Why do you come sing these songs and you cry about the youth and you're concerned about it? What's like, well, I'm trying to understand you. What's, deen for most of us has become now, well, it's just become a culture, but it's a thing. And forgive me, you know, because I know there's always this protocol and we need to... Habibi, wallahi, forgive me, I couldn't care less about protocol. You either say it like it is or don't waste my time. And I didn't fly halfway across the world so I can come here and make you feel better about yourself and I feel better about myself. Wallahi, wherever I travel, sometimes, you know, I walk into organizations, people that call me and invite me, please come give da'wah. And the very people that invite me, they themselves, they're not interested. Wallahi, most of the times they sit in the gatherings and he's on his phone. So, you know, for me, I ask the brother, why did you bring me? Because deep down in your heart, you and I, we feel like, brother, I'm okay, but these people, they're lost. You need to guide them. But me, brother, I'm going straight to Jannah, man. You laugh. I know you laugh because, you know, we don't say these things on our tongues. But every ounce of our action says that. Every ounce of, and wallahi, you know, this is the thing. You know, most of us old satis, you know, look, I'm a very, very observant person. I observe everything and wherever I go. I do my best, you know. These brothers who tell me deen and dawah and this, that and the other, when they sit in the bayan, they're the first ones to fall asleep. He's the first one to fall asleep. But he wants me to be interested in deen. And then whenever we go to Ishtimaats and this, that and the other, brother, come. We need to meet the ulama and we need to meet the... It's all of... Wallahi, it's a facade, man. It's fake, it's not real. You wonder why our children are lost? Because kids are honest, unlike you and I. Kids are honest and they read straight through your actions, man. My son grows up at that home. What does he see? Be honest, bro. What does he see? When was the last time you ever read Quran at home sincerely and tears fell down your face? And your son was able to just by the corner of his eye see that, man. What's your conversation at home? What are your dreams and your ambitions? Because on the tongue, it's Jannah. But in the heart deep down, it's dunya. Did you see this and did you hear that? Did you see what she's driving? Did you see what he's wearing? Did you see the house that he bought? These are the things that really, these are the conversations. Allah and His Prophet, come on man, this is old news bro. Deen for you and I now, deen Allah and His Prophet and the Quran, it's barakah bro, barakah. You touch it and you wipe your face and you do these things, yeah, it's barakah bro. When I buy a house, we do khatma of the Quran or we get some mufti sahab to come in and make dua and this. It's all a facade, all of it. Fake, you know, just to show people there that look, you know, I'm still religious. But I ask you, how much Quran is read in that house? How much deen is in that house? How much is Allah mentioned in that house? How much? You be honest. When we open up a business, it's all for Allah and His Prophet. And dua and this, that and the other. And then because of some money, he's happy to play some music. It brings the customers in, you know. Brothers with beards like this in our business and in our dealings. Lying and cheating. Why? For an extra dollar, man. Brother, why are our youth lost? Oh, the frustration in me sometimes, man. They're lost because we're fake, bro. That's why. We're fake. We're not real. We claim we want deen. We claim. You know, my brothers, let me not waste time and beat around the bush. You know what true worship is? You know what it means to worship something or someone? True worship is obedience. That's true ibadah, worship. That, ya Allah, you say jump, I say how high.
Did Allah really say jump? Sheikh, is there any ikhtilaf on the matter? Wallahi, look, let me go back and ask my wife, inshallah. We'll see how the family feels about Allah, you know, Allah wanting me to jump. And this is my deen. But true worship is true obedience. True worship is true obedience. And that's why when the Prophet of Allah, he says in the Sahih Hadith, that what ta'isa abd al-dirham, that the one that worships the dollar, verily this person is miserable. This person is disgraced. Now don't be fooled and don't be foolish. Nobody puts the dollar in front of him and prays and makes sajda. No, that's not what the Prophet was saying. But he says, ta'isa abd al-dirham, the abd, the true slave, is the one that submits and obeys to the dollar. The dollar dictates to me what time I wake up in the morning and what time I go to sleep at night. It's the dollar that dictates what clothes I wear. It's the dollar that dictates everything I do in my life. Not Allah and His Prophet, but the dollar, brother. It's the dollar. So the Prophet of Allah says, "Taisa abd al-dirham." You worship the dollar, you don't worship Allah. Because Allah and His Prophet has not become number one priority anymore in my life. It's dunya, 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 dunya. And where I can and when I can, I will put in some Allah and some deen and some Quran and some sunnah for the barakah of it. That's all. Listen, my brothers, look, let me be very, very straight with you. Death is very, very near, far closer than what you really think. And the truth is, and wallahi, I don't intend on insulting anyone here tonight, but for once, let us hear something for real, yeah? No one in this gathering, not me, not you, not anyone in this, has been promised anything from Allah. The only promise that Allah gave any one of us is death. We claim we love Allah. We claim we love the Prophet. We claim we love the Sahaba. But my life is so far from their life. It is so distant from their life. It's not even in the same ballpark anymore, man. Every single one of us, of course we don't say it on our tongues, but deep down in the core of my heart, you and I, deep down, in places we don't talk about, you have yaqeen that you're going to Jannah, don't you? Don't you? Because your actions say it loud and clear. This is the facade, this is the fitna. This is the shirk that's in our hearts. The shirk khafi. This yaqeen. That I'm going to Jannah, bro. No prophet ever dared to speak like this. No sahabi ever dared to speak like this. Yet you and I, for some God-given reason, deep down in our hearts. Hey, brother, look, alhamdulillah, I'm not the best Muslim. I know, but I'm better than many, many others. Brother, I'm no Abu Bakr, but I'm no Iblis either, you know. I'm sorry, my brother, who exactly gave you some sort of certificate, some sort of guarantee? Do you have some wahi, yani, wallahi, just help me out here, which sheikh I'm trying to understand, this contentment that you have in your heart, this feeling of, look, yeah, I'm not the best, but you know, this conviction you have that you're going to Jannah, explain to me, please. Maybe I'm ignorant, maybe I don't know. Maybe you have a Quran that's different to mine. Maybe your Bukhari is different to mine. But please just explain to me, where did it come from? Somewhere along the road, you got comfortable, didn't you? Somewhere along the road, you thought, yeah, brother, I'm fine, alhamdulillah, man. Look at me, bro, isn't this a nice bid? Isn't this a nice abaya? You know, brother, alhamdulillah, we went to Umrah last year. Me and the family and the kids, you know. I'm sorry, you're telling me this, why? You have conviction that Allah has accepted you? What's... Many, many of the companions, Many of the Sahaba said, if we were just to know that Allah has accepted only one sajda in my life, I would be happy and content. Only one sajda. And you and I, we're in cruise control, man. Brother, relax. Why, you know, why does the brother always scream for, man? What's the deen is not like this, bro. This is not deen. This is not sunnah. Do you know these brothers, these always screaming, screaming. You know, Allahu Akbar, you don't have any problems when you're watching the cricket and you're screaming, eh? This is fine, isn't it? When you speak politics and you speak with enthusiasm and passion and what are you talking about and this, that and the other. But when it comes to deen, all of a sudden, all of us, mashallah. Brother, this is not deen. Rasulullah didn't speak like this. Really? Rasulullah didn't speak like this? Many narrations, sahih, authentic narrations, the companions would describe that when the Prophet of Allah would give us khutbah, yes, not all the time. Yes, I know it's not all the time. But there are more than enough convincing of authentic narrations. The Sahaba said when the Prophet of Allah used to give us khutbah, his voice could be heard in the marketplace. What was he doing? Was he singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star to the companions? Yani? They said when he would address us, his face would go red. His veins on his neck would appear. He would speak to us almost as if he was warning us of an invading army. Was he telling them about how great they are and how they're all going to Jannah? You see, my brothers, look, maybe what I'm saying to you now is, slow down, brother. You just went from zero to extreme in like no time, man. You know what? Maybe me, I'm a bit of an extremist. Fine, put me aside. Is the Prophet not our example? The Sahaba, they're not our examples. I just want to ask you something. They were worried, and you and I are not worried. Why? Either they misunderstood deen and I understood it, or they understood and boy did I get it wrong. One of the two. Because they were worried and concerned, and in my heart I'm in cruise control. Alhamdulillah, brother, I'm Muslim, man. Alhamdulillah, I have kalima. No sahabi ever dared to, never. Bring me one narration, I dare anyone to bring me one narration of any companion who ever dared to speak like this. This ultimate conviction in your heart that you're going to Jannah, where, just explain to me where did it come from? So the brother might tell me, brother, there's a sahih hadith where the Prophet of Allah says, "Man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-Jannah." Brothers, yeah man, yeah, he did say that, bro. How are you going to answer that, cuz? I want to ask you something. Abu Bakr didn't know this hadith? Umar ibn al-Khattab, he didn't know this hadith? Yeah, you're right. The Prophet did say, "Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-Jannah." And depending on which narration, but let's say we're going to go with this one. You see, my brothers, there are a lot of things when it comes to ilm and it comes to deen. Yes, the hadith is sahih, it's there. But there are prerequisites that the Prophet didn't have to mention. This was a given known fact at the time. So I'll give you an example. We have a brother. He believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Is he going to Jannah or not? Based on the hadith, is he going or not? Were you confused? Yes or no? Yes. But he doesn't believe in the angels. Is he going or not? You people are extreme, man. The hadith was clear, bro. The hadith was clear, wasn't it? The man says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, but he doesn't believe in the angels. The hadith mentioned nothing about the angels. So what's your problem, bro? What are you people being extreme for? Ah, yeah, ah. There are prerequisites. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, wallahi, I'm not here to make your life miserable. But I'm here to tell you that this daydream that you're living in, if you don't snap out of it and wake up really, really, really quickly, if we die in the condition that we're in, I swear by Allah, you are in a world to hurt. A world to hurt. This false conviction that we have in our hearts, that yeah, I'm no Abu Bakr, but I'm alright, that is nothing but shaitan speaking to you. Nothing but shaitan. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a man that was promised, imagine, someone that was promised Jannah multiple times. You know, wallahi, I don't understand. You give a few rand in charity and you feel like Allah owes you something. This is a man whom the Prophet of Allah, not some sheikh, not some alim, not some mullah, the Prophet of Allah promised him Jannah multiple times. In fact, in one hadith, the Prophet of Allah, and we know the Prophet of Allah tells us to never praise your brother in front of him. Isn't this hadith? It's like throwing dust in his face, yes or no? Yet the Prophet of Allah stood in his masjid in front of the Sahaba, in front of Abu Bakr, and he said to the companions that every single one of you that did me a favor, I paid back that favor in dunya. Except for this man, I physically cannot pay him back. Allah will pay him back on the Day of Judgment. Promised Jannah multiple times. Yet Abu Bakr was the one who said, I wish I was a leaf on a tree. And don't you dare for a moment think that the Sahaba were like you and I, all movies and fake facade and trying to act humble. The Sahaba didn't have this rubbish. They were straight shooters. When Umar ibn al-Khattab stood on the minbar and he addressed the people when he was Amir and he said, if I go this way, what will you do? So one of the companions stood up, he said, by Allah, if you go that way, our swords will go that way, meaning we'll chop your head off. Sahaba didn't have this business. They were straight shooters. Not... We love it. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this, the greatest of the companions, number one. The first one to enter Jannah after the Anbiya. He says, I wish I was a leaf on a tree. These are his words. Look at the accurate details. He says, I wish I was a leaf on a tree that an animal came, bit that leaf, chewed that leaf, swallowed the leaf, digested the leaf, then it defecated it on the floor. I wish I was that and not the man Abu Bakr who has to stand in front of Allah and answer to the life that I lived. And you and I, deep down in our hearts, deep down in my heart, brother, if I don't make it to Jannah, I don't know who is going to be there, man. We come to talks to feel good about ourselves, you know. We don't come to lessons anymore. We don't come to listen. We come to watch. Big name is coming from overseas. Allahu Akbar, the masjid is full. Then the next day, there's no one there at all. Last night, we were at a program, the masjid was full. Aisha, Fajr, one line. I'm sorry, did Allah go somewhere overnight? We come for entertainment, man. Oh, did you hear who came to the masjid? Really, he was there? Yeah, alhamdulillah, I was there, man. Oh, Big round of applause for you, my brother. I hope you feel better about yourself, man. We love these little movies, eh? So, you know, I just want to know, like, did Abu Bakr misunderstand the deen, or did I, just really, and he just helped me. Which one is it? Because I'm just waiting to die so I can go to Jannah. None of you have been promised anything. When the Prophet of Allah says that there will come a time in my ummah where someone will wake up a believer and go to sleep a disbeliever, does this worry you at all? Are you even slightly scared of this hadith? You know what's funny? Every hadith that warns us of such things, deep down in our hearts, even some of our ulama, yeah, but he's not speaking about me. Every ayah in the Quran, look, forgive me. There's a madrasa here, I think there's Hufad of Quran, I'm not a hafid. But speak to any hafid of the Quran. Anywhere where Allah describes the attributes of the hypocrites, wallahi, every single trace of their qualities is in our lives. And whenever Allah speaks about Ibad al-Rahman, not a single one of their qualities is in my life. Challenge! Wallahi, I challenge you! Come on, homework! Take some homework with you. Find any verse in the Quran where Allah speaks about the munafiqeen. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the munafiqeen and he says that they used to come to the salah, but how did they come, Shaykh? What was the condition of the munafiqeen when they used to come to the prayer? Qusala, yes! Slack and lazy! How many of us we come to this prayer slack and lazy? Allah's not speaking about me, bro. Come on, man. You will live your whole life and not a single verse in the Quran is ever speaking about me. That's why we live in the La La Land that we live in. That's why we live in the fairy tale world that we live in. Because there's not a single verse in the Quran that ever applies to me, ever. Not the punishment of Allah, not the wrath of Allah. Which are the ones who... وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah. Allah is merciful, man. Allah is Rahim. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allahu Akbar. We are so... Forgive me, so no one gets upset. I'm such a munafiq, I've become a alim in the issue. Muftis! Ripping out verses in Quran, justifying. Wa rahmati, Quran, brother. Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay, man. Sahaba didn't know this verse? Tell me, Abu Bakr, the one who wishes he was a leaf that got chewed and defecated, he didn't know that wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. I ask you, what's the very next word in that verse? Surah Al-A'raf, isn't it, Sheikh? A'raf, isn't it A'raf? I think it's A'raf. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ I'm not going to tell you the next verse, nor the next chapter, nor the next page, nor the next juz. The very next word! Allah says, فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا Yes, my mercy encompasses all things, but it is written only for... Now he gives the criteria. You know, it's amazing when you misquote things. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا Yeah. My mercy encompasses all things, but it belongs to a special group of people. The first quality he mentions, what is it, Sheikh? Taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. I'm laughing because I'm actually so angry I just don't know what to do anymore. And you and I, we're walking around, my wife and my children, like it's a big game, you know. Look, we've been told to follow these men. My life needs to be like them. What worried them should worry me. What stressed them is supposed to stress me. Because that's where the victory of Allah lies. Don't fool yourself and come to some sheikh and, you know, who made you feel good about yourself. Brother, don't worry about it. And now you go home and... Yes, of course. There are different levels. But you know what I find interesting? We give da'wah to each other. We still use the same da'wah we've been giving from the day we... Wallahi, kindergarten da'wah. That's what we love. These verses and these ayat and these, you know, ahadith. Wallahi, these are things we use, kindergarten language. We use this with people that are far from deen to win them over, to give them hope. Yes, we... But the brother's been on deen for 20 years and he's still using the same verses. And you haven't expanded on it. You haven't moved on. You haven't deepened your relationship with Allah at all. Is there no depth to your deen? We love feel-good stories, man. Feel-good stuff. Came to the masjid, heard a nice story. The imam indirectly told me how great I am. We go home, man. Barakallah fi. May Allah reward him. He's a great guy, you know. Wallahi, my brothers, we need a serious reality check. You wonder why our youth are lost. Look how lost you feel right now. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, Again, we, wallahi, this verse doesn't belong to me. Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Allah says, shall I tell you about the greatest losers? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Those who worked so hard in this life, thinking, hey, I'm doing exactly what Allah wants, man. But when they stood in front of Allah, it was a big fat zero, man. Oh, the loss on that day. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, check yourself, judge yourself, hold yourself to accountability before you are judged and held to accountability. I ask you by Allah, where does this sit in your life? We've become so comfortable, man. We've become complacent. And wallahi, forgive me, I'm not indirectly sending messages. Alhamdulillah, I travel. And everywhere I travel, people want to take me around and show me this place and that place. And look how many messages we have and look how many this and look and look and look and look and look. Wallahi, I don't care. Wallahi, I don't care. I don't care if there's 3 million mosques. I don't care if your chandelier came from the mountains of... whatever, bro. I really don't care. We love these things. We love numbers, bro. We love numbers. Mashallah, mashallah. Mashallah, mashallah. Jump on Google. Average, about 180,000 people die each day, the vast majority of which are non-Muslims. Died on kufr. Their destination is only one place, Jahannam. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا.
And you and I, alhamdulillah, man, come see my masjid, bro. The kapa was actually imported from Turkey. Oh wow, that's cute. The Mabu, one of the old satis, mashallah, very wealthy man. But he's humble too, you know. He bought a mountain in Spain, very unique white color marble. So we, and this is our heart dances. We love these things. Alhamdulillah, the first two rows, they have underground heating. Allah tu'bushni habibi. Because in the cold, you know, it makes me nice and warm. All along, 180,000 people die every single day without iman, without tawheed, straight to Jahannam, khalidina fiha abada. I ask you, this 180,000 every single day that are dying, when they stand in front of Allah, whose necks are they going to grab? Is it not my neck and your neck? Whose responsibility is this ummah, man? You know, most of us, we actually don't even know. Wallahi, I actually get brothers who tell me, brother, you know, I want to work for deen, but I actually don't know what to do. Deen has become customs, custom. Have you done your 4 months, brother? Yeah, alhamdulillah. I've earned my stripes. I've done 4 months. No. When you do 4 months, it means you've brought understanding. Alhamdulillah, every year I do my chilla. Now, I'm not knocking these things. These are amazing things. But is this what our ulama wanted? Boasting about who did their 4 months and who did their... And then, depending on where I am in the world, some people tell, brother, where did you get these 4 months from? That's a bid'ah, man. I tell him, yeah, brother, you're right. 4 months is a bid'ah. Because Allah wants your life, not 4 months. You give 40 days of the year to Allah, you feel good about yourself. Where did the other 320 days go? Where did they go? And most of us, where did we do the chilla? In my hometown. Back home in Pakistan or back home in India. I did my chilla and then I visited the family after. Nice, isn't that nice? Two birds with one stone, man. And then we wonder, how come our kids don't have ghira for deen and energy for deen and passion for deen and drive for deen? How come? Wallahi, my brothers, forgive me, but I see some of the faces. Is what I'm talking, I mean, is this going right over your heads or am I, are you feeling me here or am I going right over now? Can I get some feedback or not? Is this a problem in this country or am I... Huh? Because I feel like people are looking at me as in... Allah, my brothers, our time is very short. And this life that you've been living for a long time, you better ask yourself, is this a life that's pleasing to Allah? If you died in the condition that you're in, look, you be your own judge. Your Maghrib prayer now, this Maghrib that we prayed now, if you were to rank it 1 to 10, what mark would you give yourself? You know what, I have a better challenge. What did the Imam read in the 2 rak'at? Come on, you want our kids to care. We want our kids to be involved. You just prayed for, you know, you prayed Maghrib. What do you, Imam, read?
When Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, Allah says, verily those believers are successful. Those that have khushu' in their salah, these are the ones that are successful. Then what does that say about the ones who don't have khushu'? You've been praying your namaz for the last 40 years. When was the last namaz you ever prayed? You felt not khushu', but even something that resembled khushu'. But I'm going to Jannah, man. Brother, wake up to yourself, please. So my brothers, wallahi, tonight was not a means to scare you or to say that you're bad people or to say that your whole life is a waste and that we're a bunch of hypocrites. By Allah, this was not my intention. And if this is what you understood, then you misunderstood my message. My message here tonight is we need to recalibrate our compass. We need to wake up to ourselves and stop killing ourselves. Because this fight and this struggle is not up until you become an old sati. It's not up until... No. This struggle, this trying to please Allah is until the day I die. Allah says, and worship your Lord until there comes to you what? Yaqeen. What's yaqeen? I met a brother who doesn't pray. I said, how can we even pray? He says, my brother, yaqeen came to me, so I stopped praying. I said, what yaqeen? He says, Allah says, and worship your Lord until there comes to you the yaqeen. So yaqeen came to me. I said, Habibi, yaqeen here means death. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, I'm sure you've heard the name, surely you've heard the name. Have you heard the name or not? Imam Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. One of the great, I don't need to praise him, you know who he is. When he was on his deathbed, his son Abdullah was there. Wallahi, my brothers, do you ever listen to these stories and just reflect, comprehend? Do we ever do these things? Abdullah, his son, was there. He says, I was there when my father was dying. And he was going through that sakarat al-maut, conscious, unconscious, conscious, unconscious. He says, so when my father gained consciousness, he looked up and he said, la ba'd, la ba'd. No, not yet. No, not yet. And then my father lost consciousness. So Abdullah says, he says, so I assumed that maybe he was speaking to himself or speaking to Allah saying, Ya Allah, I don't want to die. So he says, I waited next to my father anxiously waiting for him to gain consciousness. Then when my father gained consciousness, he says, I asked my father that, oh my father, why were you saying no, not yet? Why? Are you in love with dunya, dad? Is it that you don't want to leave this place? He says, my son, no. But shaitan was standing in front of me, biting on his fingernails, saying, oh Ahmed, you slipped out of my hands. Ahmed, you slipped out of my hands. I said to him, no, not yet. Not until I'm dead is the battle over between you and I, man. We're in cruise control. So my brothers, wallahi, we need to wake up to ourselves and recalibrate our compass. Yes, we have hope in Allah. Yes, the mercy of Allah. Yes, His mercy encompasses all. Yes, yes. But we have hope in the right places. Because when you take deen out of context, you hurt yourself and you hurt others. Are you with me? Yes, the rahmah is there, no doubt. I will never dare to ever take away from Allah's mercy. But hey, didn't the Sahaba understand this the best? Any one of you know Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Ever heard the name Sahabi? Very quickly, and I will end with this, I will wrap it up. Mu'adh bin Jabal was such a companion, Imagine the Prophet of Allah once turned around and grabbed Mu'adh ibn Jabal and says to him, Ya Mu'adh, by Allah I love you. Ya Mu'adh, by Allah I love you. By Allah I love you. Ya Mu'adh, by Allah I love you. Three times he said it to him. Imagine Rasulullah saying to you that by Allah, does the Prophet need to make a qasam by Allah? Does the Prophet need to take an oath? Does he? Of course not. When you ask, but see, in the Arabic language, when you take an oath, it means you emphasize. I'll give you an example. If I ask, you know, if you ask me, brother, what's your name? I said to you, Muhammad, you understand. But when you ask me, brother, what's your name? And I said to you, brother, by Allah, it's Muhammad. Whoa, relax, cuz. No one's calling you a liar. Whoa. Relax. No. In the Arab language, when you say, by Allah, يعني, I'm emphasizing. He says to him, by Allah, I love you. And in fact, just before his death, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sends Mu'adh out on an expedition. He sent him out on something. So the Prophet of Allah, he walks Mu'adh ibn Jabal and he walks him to the outskirts of Medina. And he tells him, Ya Mu'adh, by Allah, I love you. And basically he tells him, Ya Mu'adh, by the time you finish from this mission that I'm sending you on, I will no longer be here. This Mu'adh ibn Jabal, after a long and prosperous life, you know what he said on his deathbed? I'm coming to the topic of mercy. He says, Ya Allah, I lived all my life in fear of you. Now, Ya Allah, I've reached old age. And Ya Allah, even if I wanted to do something, I'm an old man. Ya Allah, I'm on my last breath. Now, Ya Allah, I'm clinging on to your mercy. Ya Allah, have mercy on me. That's true understanding of rahmah. That you, Ya Allah, when I was young and I could, I exhausted my life and my body and my wealth and my... I exhausted everything I had for you, in fear of you. Now, Ya Allah, I'm old. I'm fragile. I'm dying, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah, have mercy on me. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a man whom the Prophet of Allah says to him, that if there was to be a Nabi after me, O Umar, it would have been you. A man whom the Prophet of Allah called Al-Faruq. A man whom the Prophet of Allah says to him, O Umar, when you take a road, shaitan takes another. Promised paradise multiple times. The only man that was gifted shahada in Medina, the golden years of Islam, the best years that Islam ever seen, were the years, those 10 years that Umar ibn al-Khattab ruled in. standing in Masjid al-Nabawi, leading the Fajr Salah, he gets stabbed. He falls to the floor. Blood is pouring out of his stomach. They give him some milk. It starts coming out of his stomach. Sahaba realize the wounds are too serious. This will now take his life. Last moments. His son Abdullah is there. Imagine in Masjid al-Nabawi you're dying. Stabbed by a non-believer. Imagine the honor. And in his last moments, he says to his son Abdullah, he says, "Oh Abdullah, take my head off your lap and place it on the ground." So he says, "My father, why?" He says to him, "Oh Abdullah, because I'm praying that maybe, just maybe, if Allah sees me in this state of humiliation, maybe, just maybe, He might have mercy upon me now." Did they understand mercy or did we understand it, my brothers? So much has been said, my brothers, but time must be given. These little talks here, they're not going to change your life. These little talks, wallahi, they're not going to change your life. We need to spend time, real time. Who's ready to spend time, inshallah? Just a raise of hands. Who's ready to start spending some serious, genuine time? Wallahi, my brothers, we need to reconnect with the masjid in a whole new way. In a whole new way. Because I'm telling you, if we die in the state that we're in, إِنَّ لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَغْفِرْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْأَحْيَاءِ وَالْأَمْوَاتِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which pleases Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the true and correct understanding of His deen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower us with His infinite mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He doesn't take our souls until He's pleased with it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Firdaus al-A'la. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has mercy on every single human being, and that He eases the suffering of every single human being, and that He cures the sickness of every single human being, and that He unites our hearts and puts mercy in our hearts. ونصلي على الحبيب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، استغفرك وأتوب إليك. What time is the adhan now? Okay, so. Taib, if they need to make adhan, then we'll make adhan, yeah?
No.
Do we still have time before adhan? My stomach, man.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Thank you.